Emerald Germs of Ireland by Patrick McCabe. Mrs. Tubridy sliced some meat and placed her fork at an angle to her cheek, looking upwards and smiling in the way she did before saying, "You know, you're a very handsome boy, Pauline. I mean Pat, of course." "Thank you, Mrs. Tubridy." The smile slowly changed into a smirk as she laid down her fork and said, "Come here." Very gently, Pat felt her fingers close about his upper arm. They reminded him of a pound of Castlebar sausages. Mrs. Tubridy coughed, politely, of course, and said, "After you've cleaned out the yard, we can have biscuits and tea in the parlour. Just you and me, all right?" "Yes, Mrs. Tubridy," Pat said, "after I've hosed down the yard."
"You're hosing it down, are you?" replied Mrs. Tubridy. "Well, after you've done that, we can sit in there together."
The Children's Party by Percy French. I have just come back from a children's party. I am one of the survivors. There are not many of us. When I got to the house, I went into the room and they gave me a cup of tea. The small child crawling between my legs got the cup. The one climbing up the back of my chair got the saucer. Then we fed them for a solid hour. After that, one would think that they would have liked to lie down for a bit, but they didn't. Have you ever played a game called Burning House? The children were a fire brigade, I was the burning house. I find you needn't confine yourself to throwing water at a burning house. You can throw cushions, our books, our fire irons. Then we played Mad Buffalo. The children were a pack of wolves, I was the mad buffalo. Then they said, "Let's play Drag in the Pond." I came out from under the sofa and said, "No, children, we won't play dragging the pond. But I'll tell you a story instead." The Selfish Giant by Oscar Wilde. Every afternoon, as they were coming from school, the children used to go and play in the giant's garden. It was a large, lovely garden with soft green grass. There were 12 peach trees that in the springtime broke out into delicate blossoms of pink and pearl, and in the autumn bore rich fruit. The birds sat on the trees and sang so sweetly that the children used to stop their games in order to listen to them.
"How happy we are here," they cried to each other.
One day the giant came back. He'd been to visit his friend the Cornish ogre and had stayed with him for 7 years. After the 7 years were over, he had said all that he had to say, for his conversation was limited, and he determined to return to his own castle. When he arrived, he saw the children playing in the garden.
"What are you doing here?"
he cried in a very gruff voice, and the children ran away.
"My own garden is my own garden," said the giant. "Anyone can understand that, and I will allow nobody to play in it but myself."
So he built a high wall all round it and put up a notice board. "Trespassers will be prosecuted." He was a very selfish giant. The Tortilla Curtain by T. Corahessen Boyle. The whole thing had happened so quickly. One minute he was winding his way up the canyon with a back seat full of newspapers, mayonnaise jars and Diet Coke cans for the recycler, thinking nothing, absolutely nothing, and the next thing he knew the car was skewed across the shoulder in a dissipating fan of dust. The man must have been crouching in the bushes like some feral thing, like a stray dog or bird-mauling cat, and at the last possible moment he'd flung himself across the road in a mad suicidal scramble. There was the astonished look, a flash of moustache, the collapsing mouth flung open in a mute cry, and then the brake, the impact, the marimba rattle of the stones beneath the car, and finally the dust. The car had stalled, the air conditioner blowing full, the voice on the radio nattering on about import quotas and American jobs. The man was gone. Delaney opened his eyes and unclenched his teeth. The accident was over, already a moment in history. The Cloud Spotter's Guide by Gavin Preter-Pinney. Leonardo da Vinci once described clouds as bodies without surface, and you can see what he meant. They're ghost-like, ephemeral, nebulous. You can see their shapes, yet it's hard to say where their forms begin and end. But the cumulus cloud is the one that challenges da Vinci's description. Rising in brilliant white cauliflower mounds, it looks more solid and crisply defined than other cloud types. As a child, I was convinced that men with long ladders harvest cotton wool from these clouds. They look as if you could just reach up and touch them, and if you did, they would feel like the softest things imaginable. The most familiar and tangible of the cloud family, this is a good type for budding cloud spotters to cut their teeth on.